Today has been set aside by the North American Division for an emphasis on prayer. And I would hope that we could use this as a springboard for an emphasis on prayer for all of this coming year. Prayer is it's a central part of our worship. It's a very important part of our daily living. And I don't know any other place that brings this out in a greater way than John chapter 17. In this intercessory prayer that Jesus prayed, we see Jesus praying for himself. We find Jesus praying for the disciples. We find Jesus praying for all the believers. And somewhere in this chapter, I promise you can find an identification with prayer. Don't feel guilty if you don't pray enough or often as you should. If you feel that way, it's a good feeling. Did you hear what I said? If you feel like you don't pray enough, that should be a good thing. Now, if you're not praying at all, then you might want to take a little closer look at it. But it is true, the more that we pray, the more we enjoy praying, the more we seem to benefit from praying. And the greater our communion with Christ, then I promise you, the greater is that channel of communion that He can have with us. In John 17, He begins this way. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You." I was speaking this morning in Ranger about how that our days are limited. And Psalms 90 and in other places it speaks about how that if we live to be 70 years of age, that's pretty good. If we live to be 80, that's even better. But we know there is a limit to how long that we live. And to come to the place as Jesus did, He's getting ready to die. He's about to be crucified. This communion that we celebrate with the bread and with the wine, all of that is taking place right here on this Thursday evening. And he manages to say, "I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, Lord, it's time for You to work." If you notice verse 5, He says, "And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was." Then in verse 6, He leaves Himself. He begins to pray for the disciples. If you are looking for a model prayer to copy, this is a good outline right here. Just take this outline for 1 week. When you pray in your prayer life, pray for yourself. That's right. Pray for yourself. And then pray for your family. Pray for those around you. Jesus praying here for the disciples. And then in a broader sense, pray for the mission of you and your family and of the church. Do that for a week and see if you don't feel much better about it. I would be so happy if we could adopt the positiveness with which Jesus prayed. You see, in verse 6, as he moves from praying for himself, begins to pray for the disciples. And he says, "I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world. They are Yours. They were Yours. But You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word." Any of you that really are appreciative of your salvation, you understand that you've come to Christ because He has called you. It's not been an invention of your own human heart that one day in the past said, "Hey man, it's time now to become a Christian." You have been called and led by the power of God to become one with Him. And then of course, as we move through this chapter, we cannot forget verse 24. I believe this is an amplification of his prayer extending down to all the disciples, including myself and including you, dear friend. Jesus wants you to be with him. And part of our service today is an indicator of that. When we eat the bread and we drink the wine, we are in fact saying publicly to each other and to the unseen angels that are here, I want to imitate Christ in all things. I thank you for his life that has now become my life. And here in John 17 and verse 24, Jesus pleading with God, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am. Now, he's not speaking here about being on earth where he is. He's not talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. He's not talking about the Mount of Olives. He's not referencing the cross. No, he's referencing eternity. He's praying, God, take my people from here. Let them be with me. I've been there, and I want the community of believers to join with me there. 2010 is a brand new year, has a brand new beginning. Started a couple of days ago. It's a chance to live a year that has not yet been lived. In spite of past mistakes or regrets from last year, we now have, if I've calculated it appropriately, over 8,700 hours before us to live in this year. That's a lot of time, Bruce. Some of that time is not ours to choose. Do any of you work? Do any of you have to sleep? Some of that time is already spoken for. Things out of our control. But other things we do control. I was reading this week how that there are three areas of our life that are very dangerous. Number one is just what I'm referencing. We are overloaded with commitments. I'm constantly choosing what not to do. And believe it or not, the perception that I only work one day a week as a pastor, that's just not true. We have spoken before how that we are overloaded with too much stuff. And that is true. This pastor was referencing possessions and how that really in North America we have too much. And we just keep piling it in and piling it in. That's all I want to say about that one. But third is informational overload. You cannot possibly absorb all the new information that's being processed on a yearly basis, not even on a daily basis. And so we have electronic planners and everything else to help us store all this information that we cannot possibly remember. And here Jesus, in the simplicity of Scripture, he says, don't forget God. Don't forget the simplicity of prayer. There's a uniqueness in communing with God the Father. There's a uniqueness in starting a year anew with a resolution that we will do just that. Let me give you some ideas. If you would like to do one of these as I read it, or maybe even more than one, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to do an experiment. In the year 2010, would you be willing to be courteous? Raise your hand. Would you be willing to forgive? Would you be willing to keep a promise? Okay, let me go through the list. You're going to find yourself exercising this morning. In the year 2010, with the idea of communion with God, will you be willing to encourage others? That's the idea. Raise it up. Will you be willing to be happy anyway? I heard something a few minutes ago. Let me tell you this. And I told them I was going to use it. Don and Don were out in the hallway. And Don Calvert was talking to Don Martin. And he said, you go in and sit down, you're not in charge anymore. Can you believe it? Will you be happy? Anyway, are you willing to make a new friend? Are you willing to be a good example? To always give thanks, to stand against wrong, to count your blessings, to make the right choice, to sing, to pray, to rejoice, to be a blessing each day, to celebrate the gift of life, to weep with those who weep. And I like this one. To believe the best is yet to be. Now don't raise your hand on this one unless you mean it. We wouldn't want to lie in church. But I hope your hand goes up. Are you willing to do away with wrong habits? I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look down. Are you willing to avoid wrong and embrace right? To smile, to laugh, to spread sunshine, to be happy with your time on earth? To make yourself a gift and give it away? To let the past be just that, the past. To be persistent, diligent, and faithful. Somebody raise your hand. To find something good in everything. To have hope in spite of circumstances. To count others' interest above your own. To have a good attitude and a merry heart. To bury the past, for you are a new person. Raise your hand, Stephen. To fill our days with meaning and purpose. Are you willing to encourage, to exhort, to help those in pain? To refrain from criticizing and finding fault. To receive each new day as a gift from God. And I'm going to raise my hand to, I'd like to raise my hand to all of these. To look at more blue skies and rainbows and snowflakes when we get them here, and roses. To treat everyone as if this might be the very last time we see him or her on this earth. And to live every day of this new year, leaving precious memories in the lives of others. Almost like a wedding in which we could say, so help me God. I want to have prayer today with you before we separate for our communion. And in this prayer, it comes with a very heartfelt thank you for all of those who served our church the last year, the last 2 years, and even years before. You know, we've had quite a bit of transition here in the leadership of this coming year. And it's very appropriate that we say thank you for each person who has worked. A lot of things take place and there's no verbal bouquets, there's no thank yous given. But sincerely and honestly today, on behalf of the church, I want to thank all of those graciously, sincerely, faithfully committed themselves to the cause of God. I say thank you, and I believe the Lord is pleased with your work. And for those this year who have been willing to take up the reins and say, yes, I will be part of the leadership team, it's not going to be without challenge. But by the grace of God, we have the prayers of Jesus on our behalf. And we shall move forward. And with the hope that 2010 will be the best year we've ever had in the Chatsworth Church. Stand with me and allow me to pray for us as a group today before we separate for our foot washing. Loving Father, today we are grateful for leadership, for those who work openly and behind the scenes in every area of our church. And we know that you have blessed. We look around at this building and we look at the congregation that's here week by week for the Sabbath school and for the music, for the community service, for everything that takes place. Somebody's leading out. Somebody's making plans. Somebody's sacrificing to pay for it. Lord, let the thank you today sink very deeply. Let each of us feel that we are appreciated. Let us be awakened to the words of Jesus' prayer here in John 17:24, that he prayed for the disciples to be with him. Amplifying that you are praying for us to be with you where you are, that we shall make the right choices this year. As we resolve to imitate you, please help us, dear Lord, this year in the areas where we're weak. Every person standing here has growth areas. Some of us have problems with no easy answers. God, please work. Bless not just our sincerity, but our willingness to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.